had a great time in the sermon this week. It's just wonderful. Just sometimes are better than others. He's always there, but this was just particularly a great time to me. Our first scripture is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We spent a number of weeks exploring the person of the Holy Spirit and how he works in our lives. We've looked at worship as a religious activity and as a thankful response to God for all that he does in and through our lives. And we've been compelled, admonished in why things go wrong and what causes that. And we've had to take some personal ownership in the things we've looked at. Now, I want to look at today what Christ has done. And our only response to it can be to yield to it, to let it happen. He is our provision. He never calls you to anything he's not prepared to do. He equips you for everything. He is our peace and our comfort at all times, in all places, if we'll yield to him in it. Sometimes we don't like where he takes us, and so then we fail to yield for all kinds of different reasons. To cap all this off, I'd like to take a look at what we've been given as a result of Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection. To start off, I refer to an article that Dwayne Brush wrote in our Reflecting God devotions. It's from October 23rd, and he was looking at Romans chapter 5, and he made this comment as to Romans 5:17, which we'll read in a moment. And he said, Paul establishes the abundant grace available to all in Jesus Christ. Where sin once brought death, God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. And then I'm going to break that down a bit for you as we go through it. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So let's break that down. For if by one man's offense, this would be Adam, death reigned through the one. Since Adam, everyone born with Adam's is born with Adam's defect. Hence the term original sin. Our children know how to do wrong. We don't have to teach them that. Independence is in their blood. And they'll fight you for position. Maria, I remember the day that we had a daughter that said, well, if you don't like the way things are, you can leave home. And Maria said, wait a minute, I'm the mom, I get to stay. They'll fight you right to the end. We're born with it. Born with this battle with God for sovereignty. We're born dead to the life of God and therefore must be born again. You're not born as a Christian. Doesn't matter. Your dad was a preacher. Your grandpa's a whatever. Doesn't matter. You're not born a Christian. Doesn't happen. At some point, there needs to be what I like to call a dead reckoning. You need to recognize yourself as dead to be able to do anything good and proper, let alone righteous, apart from Jesus Christ. It needs to be there. It's a short moment, but it needs to be lived. You don't need to linger there, but it needs to be lived. Much more those who receive, it goes on, that is, welcome and are glad for God's abundant grace, abundance of grace, it says, and of the gift of righteousness. They're glad for that. Oh, I'm tired of trying to be good. I'm sure glad for God's grace. Ah, it's a good moment. 2 Corinthians 5:21. says, I have all these up there. If you want to go ahead and get ready for them, put your finger in the pages, that's fine. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For He, that is God, made Him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become, that is, live out the righteousness of God in Him. The becoming insinuates living out. It has to. When a child comes into the world, they live their life out in the world after the likeness of their parents. More than they care to admit. You'll find people, especially teenagers, I'm never going to be like my mom or my dad. And you watch them and give them about 10 years, they're identical. Their own little style, but it's the same stuff. So with this abundance of grace given and the gift of righteousness, we, then it goes on, will reign in life. I love the Old Testament phrase that says, God tells His people, if you keep these commandments, I will make you the head and not the tail. I was at a meeting one time, and I was just about to start. It was a full gospel businessmen's meeting, I think. And I was just about to start, and the guy said, oh, just a minute, we have an announcement from Mr. Ed. That was his name for this guy, Mr. Ed. So this guy got up and he gave his announcement. He did a great job. And everybody thanked him. He sat down and I couldn't resist. So when I started, I said, now everybody here knows about Mr. Ed, right? The talking horse. Right? I said to this man, thank you, Mr. Ed, for sharing what you did. It's so nice to hear from the mouth of the horse and not the other end. Because so often in life we're listening to the other end. And I loved that when he said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Tails are for swatting flies and they follow along. And they're just kind of dumb, but they're useful. They're a fly swatter. That's all it is. And without Christ, that's all we are. We go around flaunting or go along swatting flies of sin that land on us. That's the tail. That's not the head. The head is where you get fresh air. Yes. And that's what he says. So we will reign in life according to God's will. Sadly, some stop reading right there. We'll reign in life. Good. Got it, Lord. Whew, they're gone. Feeling that somehow God is going to empower their own ignorance or their own devotion. And he won't. He'll empower his will. That's why we must seek it daily. That's where He empowers His will. So we must seek His will daily. It's as though they have blinders on or an overriding agenda and are driven by the lost hopes sometimes of a past life. God, I thought You were going to make me. I thought You were going to. That becomes forefront instead of Christ, who is their life. So I'm not talking about reincarnation either. I'm talking about our life before Christ and our existence without Him. We come from an existence without Him to our life in Him. But it's still His life doing the Father's will. Perfect. What do I get to do? Go along for the ride. I go along for the ride. You know, when you're riding in a car, you can see way more than when you're driving. Oh, look at this. Look at that. Look at this. You know, I tell Maria sometimes, sorry, hon, I'm driving. I can't. So then I let her drive and I can do that to her. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. You see so much more when you're not in the driver's seat. Wow. Is that what he's talking about? Absolutely. But you've got to stay in the car with him. You've got to stay close. We reign in life through one. Ah, perfect. Jesus Christ. That's where we reign. In life, through Him. And He's not going to do anything that's not the Father's will. So that's what you get. You don't have to worry about the will of God when you're in Christ. Because He's living it out in you. Sometimes, Cape and Ray students here in about a week, I'll be talking to them again. And I love using this because most of them are at the age, they're still asking, what's the will of God for me? And they want to know. They're 18, 20, 23, whatever. And they want to know what the will of God is for them. So I just ruin all of their hopes. And I tell them, that's the wrong question. The right question is, what is the will of God? I don't care if it's for me or somebody else. What's the will of God? Wow. If you get on board with that, you're available to Him. You want to know God's will? Or you just want God's will to be what you want? Ooh, ooh. Careful. Don't be afraid to inspect that a little bit. The will of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. We will never be more enlightened than when we walk in His life, who is the light of men. You walk in it. You want to see where you're going? Walk in it. Well, I want to know down the road before I step out. No. Step out. And if you step out and you find out it's wrong, step back. But be available and active toward that. Oh, well, you know, if God wants to do His will, He'll do His will in my life. Oh, hogwash. You'll get passed by if you do that. Seriously, He wants somebody who will engage Him in His love. What? Yeah, He's got love for you. It's got go ahead. It's got stop here. It's got boundaries. It's got endlessness. It's got abundance of what's right and what's wrong. His love is a great place to live and move and have not just our being, but His being in us. Does that make me God? No. Does it make me the head and not the tail? Oh, yeah. Big time. And I've seen Him prepare ways for me. I've seen Him come in behind me and keep things away that are trying to drag me down. I've seen Him solve things that I can't solve. But you have to be praying and communicating with Him on a regular basis and listening. Biggest part of prayer isn't what you say. It's what you hear. Do you want to hear God when you pray? Well, God, no, I want this. And He should do that. And the Word says, oh, when you start quoting the Bible to God, you know you're on the wrong track. You've got an agenda, and that's why you do it. I know what I'm talking about because you've heard me say this before, but just to underline, the call of God on my life to become a preacher full-time happened 1 year after I was saved. That was when I was 27. And I was waiting for this to happen. I was trying to make this happen. And I was trying to wait. 22 years later, when I was 49, it happened. At that point, I didn't have enough faith to believe He was even going to do it. But He did it anyway. So it's not about what we want. And He might tell you something, but you may have the thing right, which I had, but your timing is way out. You say, well, why would God do that? Because it took Him that long to get me over myself to the point He could begin and really do something. If we walk at night without a lantern, flashlight, or floodlight, we will be walking in the dark. If we carry some kind of light, we can walk in the dark without stumbling. What if there were a light that carried us through the dark? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, I like that. Isaiah prophesied of such a light in Isaiah 9:2. He said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. A great light. This light we just read about. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. We're supposed to have Jesus as a part of our life. When a baby's born in the world because of Adam, that's not there. It's supposed to be there. So parents, raise your child in the way that they should go.
raise them to know Jesus. You can't make it happen, and trust me, when they get to be teenagers, you're going to lose them for a while. Pretty much. Not guaranteed, but pretty much. So don't beat yourself up over it, but at least they know where to come back to. So do that.
Romans 5, verses 20 to 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound.
Whoa.
We'll look at that. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was driving with my older brother one time in his truck. It was a truck and it was a cattle liner. We were going to Fort St. John to pick up some cattle. And we were on our way there. And we were hoping to get through Wild Lake before dark. Because that area, before the new highway, I understand there's a new highway now, that was the nastiest stretch of highway you'd ever want to be on. It had corners that looked like a can of worms. Just nasty. But anyway, I was driving and we arrived there at dark. So we're proceeding through. It said, I came to the first road sign and it said 40 miles per hour. So I thought 45 was close enough. I made it around the corner, but I was glad there was no oncoming traffic because I had to go across the line to do it. And so I learned that when the sign said 40, it didn't mean 41. When it said 30, it didn't mean 32. And that's how we drove that stretch of road, by the road signs. We didn't know it well enough to just know what corner was coming next. We were in the dark, but we had a light. The headlights. The truck had good headlights. Perfect. And I nailed those road signs. It was a nice drive. I didn't need to know where the road was because I had the light and the signs. Jesus is our light. It's full of signs. And He'll guide you through. And you don't need to know down the road. Quite frankly, if we can't love God when He gives us nothing, we'll never love Him properly when He gives us everything. Seriously, that's the bottom line. If I can't behave myself and love Him and others when He gives me nothing, I'll never behave if He gives me much. And that's where He works us. That's where He works faith into us. At those points. Embrace Him in it. And allow it to happen. It's not nice, but it needs to happen. It happened to me for over 20 years. It needs to happen. I remember being glad for good headlights and speed signs. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is God, it is the God, not small g, big G, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Remember the one back in Genesis who stood there and said, "Let there be light," and there was light? That one. That one. That God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We don't get glory. We don't get glory. We get Jesus Christ. And we get to live in the glory of God. We don't get personal glory. And if you need it, that's God, small g. And it comes from insecurity. I had a lot of that in my life. Needing to be known, needing to be recognized, needing to be equal, needing to be above people. No, that's God, small g. God, big G. That's the one we need. Him who commanded the light to shine when there was nothing but darkness. He's commanded that light in our life through Jesus Christ to shine. We need to go along with that. So let God be God. Relax. Enjoy. As much as you can. As much as you can. And when you're edified or admonished, take it well. Take it well. Otherwise, it won't find a place to rest. If you resent God's word to you, or through a prophet, or somebody else, if you resent that, there'll be no place for it to rest in your life. Guaranteed. There's just no spot. And that's our responsibility. Make room for it. Back to Romans 5, 20 and 21. The law entered that the offense might abound. God's law was not given to control the offense, but to make the offense obvious.
Oh.
So that what? So that I might have a part in the relationship. I need to play a part in the relationship. It needs to be of me as well as of Him. His will is for us from the moment we're born again. His moment before then is that we would be born again. His will for us from the moment we're born again is to desire the sincere milk of the Word and grow up in Jesus. Grow up in Jesus. Walking uprightly in His grace. Oh, not just stumbling along in His grace, stepping on people. Walking uprightly in His grace. It's not so much us doing things that please God. It's more a matter of doing things with Jesus, His way. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. It says in Romans 5, 21 or 20, 21. Keep your eye on it. Note that this verse doesn't say where sin abounds, but rather where sin abounded. It's past tense, not present tense. We can't go on living, doing the wrong thing. Oh, well, God will forgive me. No. It's past tense. Where sin abounds, but it doesn't say it's where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. There was a moment. There was a point of reckoning. If you haven't had that moment, you need to get somewhere and have that moment. There's a point of reckoning. I call that dead reckoning. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. That's a moment in time. When you realize that, then you go, oh God, I am a sinner. We had a altar call years ago in a church. And I was in a music group. And these few people came forward. And this guy was coming forward. So I was going to go up to lead him in the sinner's prayer. And he came up. And he just started spewing it all out. God, I'm such a wretch. And he's going, I didn't even get a chance to say the sinner's prayer. Jesus saved him right there in front of me. Why are you supposed to? I missed my part. No. My part is in Christ, not in God's glory. Not in the saving of people. God saves people. We're just there as instruments, maybe. Maybe not. That's all it is. Let me just finish by reading Romans 6. 1-23. I was going to preach on this, but it's going to take way too long. So I'm just going to read it, and you consider it. And read it when you get home, maybe. 1-23. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, if you've done this dead reckoning, you will be walking in newness of life. And if you're still stumbling along, not walking as the head, rather, but as the tail, it's because somewhere along the line, you need to go back and reckon yourself dead and Christ alive in your life. Otherwise, you're going to continue to fight with Him for what you want and are not getting. If we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. God's will, no longer slaves to sin. For if He who has died has been freed from sin, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. Every one of us. Well, the life that He lives to God. What are you living your life to? What has to happen? What's coming next? What are you waiting for? You need to be in the moment. You don't live in the past. You don't live in the future. You got to live in the moment. And who are you in the moment? Ah, this moment. This moment describes which direction we need to go in. this very moment. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead. That's what I like to call dead reckoning. Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can still go back there, but I don't have to. Back to sin, but I don't have to. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Perfect! Now you get to do what you want to do. As a believer, you get to do all that you want to do. But if you're compromising in your believership, shall we say, it's going to not work that way. If all you want is God's will and you don't care what it is, you always get to do what you want. I love my job. I get to do what I want. But I'm doing what I'm called to. I speak in human terms, he says, because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Ooh, perfect. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. I never knew about right when I was a sinner. I didn't care. It was just about me. And it was all wrong. What fruit did you have then? See? Go back and think about it. How'd that go for you? What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. It's still death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you want? What do you want? Life or death? Because it's still there. This love is active and engaging. And if we cease to love and engage God, I don't recommend that for anybody. That's not a guarantee you're going to get life. You make it a lifestyle and you will get death. God is not a fool. He will not be mocked.